Amen. I told you I'm going to kind of jump ahead a little bit, so I hope I'm not, and good luck on the media stuff, all right? We have a mission, right, church? Help me out. What is our mission? I'm just going to hit that real quick. What is our mission? Grow is how we do the mission. The mission is to be bringing people to and equipping them to be like Him. That is our mission. Now listen, I'm going to forego grow this morning. I'm going to bring it back next week. You got two more weeks of grow. And then you have a lifetime of grow. Amen? So I'm going to come back and we're going to hit our scripture and all of that next week. But outreach is what I want to talk to you today about. What is outreach to our world? It's where we actively, I want you to catch that word, actively seek to draw people to God, to draw them. Come on, He's there actively by touching our city and our world through simple acts of kindness. It's just us being there. Again, thanks to all those with the lighted parade. We were salt, we were light in that place. And we've not only been called to reach a city, though, but we've been called to reach our personal world, where you live, the people you know. But we're also to reach the global world. And people are called into full-time missions, just like our guests today. They've been called. You say, why don't you say their names? Because now we're recording and this goes on live. So I have to guard that so you know why I'm not. It's not that I don't know who they are. But it's our guests and where they're going and where they've been called and what they're doing. And God's given us other families in our church, Dub and Joan Weber, that are serving with Builders International, Bob and Betty Sue McIsaac in Lithuania. Last year, do you remember, we gave $230,000 in missions? This year, we're on track for over $210,000. Next year, if you'll really help me get on board, this week, 17 countries, Latin American countries, are meeting together, and we are presenting little Sophia Hawkins' book, and The Mighty Engine, and we're presenting that to be translated into Latin American Spanish, and we want to launch that next Christmas and hopefully get it into, they've told us, up to 50,000 children. How do we do that, church? I believe we can do it. And who knows what we'll do next year in missions as we get on board. Listen, pop cans right now, you can bring them in, set them somewhere in the church, and we'll find them down in the south in the gym now. All right, they're going in. I've got a bag in my car I got to get out today. So we need to bring those in. Why? Speed the light. In fact, I don't know if you mentioned it this time, but they're not going to need a speed the light vehicle at first, but speed the light is going to get them from the mainland to the island. That's going to be the transportation part, and speed the light helps that. So get on board with us. Church, the mission is simply telling the good news of Jesus Christ. There's an old story in the Old Testament I want you to hear this morning. It happens after King Solomon dies. Civil war breaks out in Israel. In fact, they're broken into two kingdoms. One is called the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom. There's a lot of teaching that you probably need to hear about the Old Testament, and I don't have time to set all that up, but I want to talk about that Northern Kingdom for a moment this morning. The Northern Kingdom was sieged and by the Syrian army, and they went through a severe famine because of the siege. They're starving. They're outnumbered. They don't know what to do. But there are four lepers that are outside the city because they couldn't live in the city. They're outside the city. And I want you to hear this story in 2 Kings chapter 7 this morning, beginning at verse 3. Now, there were four men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates. Why should we sit here waiting to die? They asked each other. We will starve if we stay here. But with the famine in the city, we will starve if we go back there. So we might as well go out and surrender to the Aramean army. If they let us live, so much the better. But if they kill us, we would have died anyway. So at twilight, they set out for the camp of the Arameans. But when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping of horses and the sounds of a great army approaching. The king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptians to attack us. They cried to one another. So they panicked and ran into the night, abandoning their tents, horses, donkeys, and everything else as they fled for their lives. When the lepers arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into one tent after another, eating and drinking wine, and they carried off silver and gold and clothing and hid it. Finally, they said to each other, "This is not right. This is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone. If we wait till morning, some calamity will certainly fall upon us. Come on, let's go back and tell the people at the palace." In this story, in one day, God turned things around in a city where people are dying. Why? Because they heard good news, and that good news changed their lives that day. In fact, this is a picture of the world today. People are dying today, and they need to hear some good news. Amen? Three things I want to talk about today: the great need, the gross neglect, and the good news. What's the great need? I want you to listen to how desperate the situation was in this city. In 2 Kings, just one chapter earlier, they go into this. And in verse 25, we begin to find out how bad it was. It says, as a result, there was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 pieces of silver and a cup of dove dung sold for 5 pieces of silver. Can you imagine the menu of what these people are eating? That's if you had the money. I mean, you could have a donkey head burger with a side of dove's dung. Sounds appetizing. Are you ready for lunch? That wasn't how bad it got. Listen to how bad it gets in verse 28 and 29. Two mothers are arguing in front of the king. Here's what they said. But the king said, "What is the matter?" She replied, "This woman said to me, 'Come on, let's eat your son today, and then we'll eat my son tomorrow.' So we cooked my son and ate him. Then the next day I said to her, 'Kill your son so we can eat him.' But she has hidden her son." Can you imagine the despair and the desperateness of what these people were going through, that they would move to cannibalism of their children? But this story is a spiritual picture of what had happened in Israel. Sin had run its course. Division is in the kingdom. And now the condition is so desperate, they're starving to death. Not only are they really in a famine, they're in a spiritual famine. That's really their biggest problem, and they don't even know it. Church, it's the same problem we have in our world today. People say, "Well, boy, if we could just solve world hunger, right? If we could just take care of world hunger." Hunger would be a great thing to solve. In fact, I was thinking about it, and I thought, I just wonder what events out there, what could we not do and maybe save the money and help? And I thought about the Super Bowl. One day, just one day. Do any of you have any idea how much the Super Bowl costs for that one day? $5.6 billion. One day of our entertainment. It makes you kind of wonder what we could do and our priorities and what's going on in our land. Oh, everybody's crying, feed them, but nobody's doing anything about it. Listen to this, 1 out of every 9 people in the world will go to bed malnourished tonight. I wish there was a way to help them. By the way, there is. Convoy of Hope. They have a feed them in Haiti and all over the world. They're working at Latin American Child Care. They're doing it. Samaritan's Purse. These are attempting to help feed hungry kids. But we need to realize there's a greater hunger. I'm not belittling the hunger in our world, but there is a spiritual hunger that is more important. In fact, if you could solve the heart issues of men and women and they could get God into their lives, I tell you, we can resolve a lot of the issues that are affecting people in the physical realm. Church, many think it's a famine of food or education or a famine of money. It's not. Listen to Amos, how he puts it in chapter 8, verse 11. "The time has surely come, and says the sovereign Lord, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread or water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. You see, when people get the Word of God in their life, it will dramatically change them. People will start treating people differently. Why? Because we are Christ-like. It's amazing. If we could get the Word into the heart of the human being, we would learn to love. We would learn to grow and serve one another. But there's a spiritual famine in the hearts of people. And most people can't even see their great need. Think about the great need that the people that our missionaries are going to reach. There's a great need. Think about the other missionaries that are serving where they are. Why are they there? Because there's a great spiritual famine, and they're going there to tell them. The world population is almost 7.3 billion people. But this statistic is what catches my ear. 4 billion have not even had a chance to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in an adequate way yet. To hear that Jesus died for their sins, he rose again, and that anyone who puts their faith in him will have everlasting life. They've not even heard that. Do you understand? It wasn't until 1804 that there was 1 billion people in the world. And then in the early 1900s, missions began to explode, especially in the Assemblies of God. We began to send missionaries into the world. But we cannot keep up with sending enough missionaries to keep up with the population growth. 353,000 babies are born every day. Over half of those babies will go to eternity without Jesus Christ because they'll never even have the opportunity to hear the gospel. Every single day, listen to this, 3,500 people die without knowing Christ every hour. 84,000 people a day, not even heard. You know what troubles me though? There's more people concerned about how long the checkout lines are going to be during Black Friday sales than they are the lines leading to hell. This is serious business with God. Outreach is not just something that's a church colloquial saying that we need to outreach. Church, we need to outreach. There's a famine in our world. The Word of God is being neglected, especially those who have it. We talk about the world. What about the United States? Our nation is in great need of the Word again. Each day in America, 2 out of 3 marriages are failing because they don't have the Word of God to help them guide. 750,000 teenage girls will get pregnant this year. 250,000 of them will abort their baby. 2.8 million people, new users, listen, new users of illegal drugs will happen this year. That's 7,800 new users every day because of the pressures that they're feeling. They're looking for something. But listen to this. 54% of those 7,800 are under 18 years of age. You understand why we need to do something about reaching our children and our youth? I don't have time to deal with anger problems in our nation, the racism problems in our nation, the morality issues that we face. America has a problem. America has a spiritual famine. The world has a spiritual famine. There's a great need, but there's not just a great need, there's been a gross neglect, especially when you know what the need is. That's what's sad. Let me take you back to the story of the leopards. And they received all this blessing. But did you hear what they did? Verse 8. The man who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents, ate and drank. Then they took silver, gold, and clothes and went off and hid them. Then they returned and entered another tent, took some things from it and hid them also. So what did they do with the things they got? Talk back to me. They hid it. Had all the silver and gold, all kinds of stuff. I mean, they're having the time of their lives. Eating, drinking, trying on new clothes. Do you remember just a little bit earlier, they're like, we're going to die. If we go to the city, we're going to die. If we go to the hands of the enemy, we're going to probably die. But that wasn't God's plan. They didn't have to fight one battle. They didn't have to kill one soldier. Every bite of food, every gold nugget they had came from God. It was God who did this. You remember? God blessed them. Their feet somehow shuffling through that sand caused chariots to make sounds. And the enemy heard and ran. But the lepers buried the blessing. The spiritual picture here is that we, the people of God, if we're not careful, we do the same thing. Church, we struck gold when we found God's grace. You were endowed with silver when you found His love and His forgiveness. By the way, you didn't have to be beaten and nailed to a cross. You didn't have to suffer and die. Jesus did that for us. And we need to be careful not to neglect what God has given us. That would be a gross neglect of the grace of God. I want you to get involved in missions work. Right here in Northfield Christian. Past Friday was a great example. Next Saturday, coming up at IOC in Garden City. Getting on board with world missions. Supporting our missionaries personally and through general. Because they go where we can't go. Get involved. Listen, the lepers were having a blast, but then they remembered the children crying in the city. They remembered that people were dying, and they had the answer to the great need. And so they went and told them what? The good news. 2 Kings 7:9, remember it? Finally, they said to each other, finally, this is not right. This is a day of good news, and we aren't sharing it with anyone. If we wait until the morning, some calamity will certainly fall upon us. Let me tell you, church, we need to wait no longer. If we wait any longer, calamity is coming upon America. We need to do it now. And they say, come on, let's go back and tell the people at the palace. Church, you not only have the good news, you have the greatest news. You can either believe that the primary problem in the world is of the physical nature, and you can try to solve it in a physical way, or you can realize the problem is a spiritual problem, and it needs to be solved spiritually. Listen to 2 Kings 6. The king, in the middle of the famine, has a happening. Listen to what happened. One day, as the king of Israel was walking along the wall of the city, a woman called to him, "Please help me, my lord, the king." He answered, "If the Lord doesn't help you, what can I do?" The king even recognized that there are problems that only God can solve. Money is of no help. The government's no help. Education's no help. Only God is the one who can help. We need to realize there are people who are starving and they are desperate. That's why they're trying drugs. That's why they're falling into sexual immorality. That's why they're chasing money. That's why they have relationship after relationship trying to fill some void within their life. And church, there is only one name. There is only one who can satisfy their spiritual famine. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. It's not hungering for food. It's hungering for the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So what am I asking of our church? Nothing more than what God has been asking all the time. I want you to take a step of faith and tell somebody about Jesus. This week I was at Joann's Fabrics. Have anybody here ever checked out at Joann's Fabrics? Do you know what I'm talking about? Thank you, yes. I don't know why. I see they got four checkouts, but it takes forever. Well, I had to go get something for the float. I'm standing in the line, and here they are, and I'm the only guy in the line, so kind of, you know, I'm there. I got my stuff, and a lady was walking up, and it was like, next. And so she walks up, and she kind of stumbles and trips a little bit, didn't fall. But one of the cashiers just kind of said, you need to quit drinking. Just kind of making fun in light of the situation. Because then she went on to say, because the pastor's right over there. And I mean, it was like... Okay. Church, we need to look for the divine moments, though. I was there to kind of take care of business and do what I needed to do and kind of get out, you know. And it wasn't about all that. In fact, she was like the lady at the counter because she knows me and she knew I was a pastor and she was willing to tell everybody. And she's like telling the other cashier, you'll probably get them. You're going to get the blessing today. But the lady behind me, I just turned because I didn't want to make a big to-do. And I just turned. I said, you know what? I just began to converse with her. And I got to the point, I said, our world really needs Jesus today. And he just kind of woke her up. She's like, man, that really is the answer. I don't know what God was doing, but church, I want to be careful that I don't have a gross neglect because I'm just in a line that I don't like being in and I don't know what's going on. But church, sometimes it takes somebody. I told the first crowd, I'm going to tell you this. Listen, next time I see you in the store somewhere, I'm going to say, hey, fellow Christian, good to see you. Why not? Why not? Why? Because I am unashamed of the gospel. Church, we have got to do personal world evangelism. We've got to do local. These opportunities, as long as we can be salt, somebody's got to flavor this stuff. We were the only Christian influence. Do you understand that? There's a parade, a whole parade, and we are the only Christian influence in that community parade. We got assault. And then we got the opportunity to put people in costumes out there. So we could just salt and say, we're here. We love you. God loves you. We had a prayer station. People went to the prayer station, got prayed for. That's what we're there for. And church, maybe we didn't win anybody to Christ that night. But I tell you what, we're doing everything we know to cast seed. We're here. And we're looking for the divine moments. I was walking alongside our float, and it was amazing how people, they see the angels. We're there to tell the story again. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. Church, I can't go where our missionaries are going. I've not been called to that. And you brought it up, but we've got to do what we've been called to do. And I am challenging us. I'm not done growing. I don't want to just grow in Christ and I get so full of the Word of God, I don't do anything with it. I don't want to have relationships just to have relationships without doing outreach to the world. Next 2 weeks, I'm going to talk to you about worship. I'm going to go ahead and tell you the bottom line of it, but you need to come and hear all of it. But the bottom line is this. Pastor Matt, would you come and the team? The bottom line is this, it's not about singing a song. Worship is about full surrender. You see, this family is about full surrender. They're about worship. Because God or those people are worth hearing the story of God. In fact, without them hearing, they will perish. Thanks be to God. For 3,000 years, and He calls you to go. God's timing is always perfect. He sent Jesus in the fullness of time. They waited 4,000 years. But He came, and we heard, and we've responded. But now it's time to grow. It's time for us to be the church. It's time for us to bring people to Jesus Christ and equip them to be like Him. Why? because then the cycle happens all over again. And we will do it until He comes. The church, I'm calling us up. We've got to do this together.